yet. This is the Word of God.
This is the Word of God.
And I have what it says I have. And I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm a winner. And not a whiner. I'm a doer. And not just a hearer. Said I'm a doer. And not just a hearer. In Jesus' name. Again, the Bible says we're all a part of the body of Christ. Turn to someone in front of you, behind you, next to you, and say, thank God you brought the rest of my body this morning. In church, I'm really thrilled. Joy talked to Mom this morning, and she didn't think she was going to be able to be here in church because her heart was racing. And when she walked through the doors, I think, thank you, God, that she's here this morning with us. Amen. Like I said, without her prayers, I would not be in this pulpit doing what I'm doing. I probably would be under the grave, under the ground, dead a long time ago. But it was her praying and holding on to God. And mothers, you may have some children that you think there's no way they're ever going to change. I got news for you. I'm sure there's times the devil told her the same thing, because every time she'd pray for me, I'd get worse and worse and worse. But she kept on praying, kept on believing, and God touched my heart one night and turned my whole life around, and He'll do the same thing for you if you'll be faithful to Him. Amen? All right. If you will, this morning, I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Some of y'all done read that one, huh? Proverbs 31. As you turn there, the Bible said a merry heart does good like medicine, so I want to give you some medicine this morning. And remember, these are just humorous stories, so please don't be offended. A man is walking down the beach and comes across an old bottle. He picks it up, pulls out the cork, and out pops a genie. The genie says, thank you for freeing me from the bottle. In return, I will grant you 3 wishes. The man says, great, I've always dreamed of this, and I know exactly what I want. First, I want $1 billion in a Swiss bank account. Poof, there was a flash of light, and a piece of paper with the account numbers appears in his hand. He continues, next, I want a brand new red Ferrari right here. Poof, there's a flash of light, and a brand new red Ferrari appears right next to him. He continues, finally, I want to be irresistible to women. Poof, there's a flash of light, and he turns into a box of chocolates. And this is Joy's favorite joke. A young ventriloquist is touring the clubs and stops to entertain at a bar in a small town. He's going through his usual run of stupid blonde jokes when a big blonde woman in the fourth row stands on her chair and says, I've heard just about enough of your degenerating blonde jokes. What makes you think that you can stereotype women that way? What does a person's physical attributes have to do with their worth as a human being? It's guys like you who keep women like me from being respected at work and in my community, of reaching my full potential as a person. Because of you and our kind continue to perpetuate discrimination against not only blondes but women at large, all in the name of humor. Flustered, the ventriloquist begins to apologize, but the blonde stops him. You stay out of this, mister. I'm talking to that little jerk on your knee. A couple goes out to dinner to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. On the way home, she noticed a tear in his eye and asks if he's getting sentimental because of their celebrating 50 wonderful years together. He replies, no, I was thinking about the time before we got married. Your father threatened me with a shotgun and said if he had had me thrown in jail for 50 years if I didn't marry you. Tomorrow, I would have been a free man. A husband visiting a marriage counselor said, when we were first married, I would come home from the office, my wife would bring me my slippers, and our cute little dog would run around barking. Now, after 10 years, it's different. I come home, the dog brings me the slippers, and my wife runs around barking. Why complain, said the counselor. You're still getting the same service. Last one. And don't look at your husband or wife. A couple was traveling and they got into a fight about his driving. So they fought and they fought and they fought. Seeing this did no good, they gave each other the silent treatment. Miles into the country, the husband notices a jackass. Being mean, he said, is that a relative of yours? The wife looked over and said, yeah, by marriage. All right. Proverbs 31. I'm going to read this to you from the Living Translation. Beginning verse 10. If you can find a truly good wife, she's worth more than precious gems. Her husband can trust her, and she will richly satisfy his needs. She will not hinder him, but help him all her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She buys imported foods brought by ship from distant ports. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plans the day's work for her servant girls. She goes out to inspect a field and buys it. With her own hands, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic, a hard worker, and watches for bargains. She works far into the night. She sows for the poor and generously gives to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for she has made warm clothes for all of them. She also upholsters with finest tapestry. Her own clothing is beautifully made, a purple gown of pure linen. Her husband is well known, for he sits in the council chamber with other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments to sell to the merchants. She is a woman of strength and dignity and has no fear of old age. When she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is a rule for everything she says. She watches carefully all that goes on throughout her household and is never lazy. Her children stand, her children stand and bless her, so does her husband. He praises her with these words. There are many fine women in the world, but you are the best of them all. Charm can be deceptive and beauty doesn't last, but a woman who fears and reverences God will be greatly praised. Praise her for the many fine things she does. These good deeds of hers shall bring her honor and recognition from even the leaders of the nation. That's a pretty awesome woman, is it not? There was a guy who was walking along a beach in California. He stumbled across an old lamp. He picked it up, rubbed it, and out popped a genie. Genie said, okay, you released me from the lamp. Blah, blah, blah. This is the fourth time this month, and I'm getting a little sick of these wishes. So forget about three. You only get one wish. The man thought about it for a while. I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm scared to fly, and I get very seasick. Could you build me a bridge to Hawaii, so I can drive over there for vacation? The genie laughed and said, that's impossible. Think of the logistics of that feat. How would the supports ever reach the bottom of the Pacific Ocean? No, think of another wish. The man thought about it and said, I've been married and divorced four times. My wives have always said I don't care and that I'm insensitive. So I wish that I could understand women, to know how they feel and what they're thinking. Jenny said, you want that bridge two lanes or four lanes?
Bless that genie, man. Bless that genie.
We may not understand women, but one thing we do know is that women like to be praised. They like to feel loved. But we all know that even though men possess this knowledge, they don't use it as often as they should. So today, ladies, I'm going to be your advocate and I'm going to preach a sermon about being appreciated. Now, guys, how many of you would like to have a wife that's a 10 or maybe a 12? I'm going to give you 12 things from this text to think about. And as you listen, I don't want you to grade your wife. We all know that 10s are unrealistic, and so are 12s. And we also got to remember that we're not exactly perfect either. And likewise, ladies, I sure don't want you feeling guilty if you don't meet all of these 12 things we're going to talk about. I doubt that anybody does. This proverb gives the picture of an ideal woman, and that's hard to live up to. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The point is, when you find something praiseworthy, then you should give it praise. Philippians 4:8 ends by saying, if there's any excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. If you can praise your wife, your mother, or anyone for anything, you should. Church, I don't know, it's sad to say in this society, we have no problem complaining. But it's hard for us sometimes to be thankful and to give praise when it's due. Kids, also, you need to praise your mom. Praise your grandmother. Praise your aunt or any woman in the church when she possesses the qualities we're talking about. And here's the list. 12 qualities that are praiseworthy when you find them. Number one, in verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her. I wonder how many of you praise your wife or your mom because you find her to be somebody you can trust. In fact, not only can you trust mom to get something done, but she's always has a way of doing it before you ever think about it. Moms have this sixth sense. How many times have you said, honey, can you, and she just waits for you to finish, and she says, I've already taken care of it. She does that because she's trustworthy and she's dependable. Let me ask you something else that's related to having a wife you trust. When was the last time you had to worry about your wife making eyes at another man? Joy used to get mad at me for not being jealous. And I told her this. For one, if you love me, I don't have to worry about another man.
Amen.
Two, they don't realize they can't afford you. If they took you, they'd bring you back. So I'm just picking on her, okay? But back to being serious. You don't have to because you trust her. You know that she's committed to you. And in doing so, you can also trust that she's not out behind your back talking bad about you. I'll let that soak in for a moment. Women want to feel secure. A man wants to be respected and honored. And if you're running around behind your husband's back and you're talking bad about him and you're running him down, God's going to hold you accountable for it. Because what you got to realize is the two of you become one. And what you're doing, you're running yourself down. Stop thinking about it. It was your choice that decided to marry that person. Amen? And there's nothing worse than a Christian woman running down her Christian husband. And someone that's not a Christian hears that. And boy, do they get on the bandwagon. We're supposed to build each other up, amen? We don't have to worry about a wife hiding things from us if we can trust her. See, trust is vital to a good relationship. I've known people who were jealous and they tried to control their husband or their wife, and all they did was push them farther and farther and farther away from them. They either love you or they don't. And I've been in a relationship where my wife wanted to divorce me and told me she didn't love me anymore. And there's nothing you can do about that. We try to force them to love us. We try to force them to come back and make things right. You can't. Love them, trust them, and trust God. And in doing so, you put the burden back on them. Amen? Well, you don't know my wife. I don't have to know your wife. I just know what God says to do. Amen? So if your lady in your family is trustworthy, then you should praise her. Thank God I've got a wife that I don't have to worry about. Thank God that I can trust you. Number two, she does him good all the days of her life. That tells me two things. First, if a wife does you good, that means she builds you up. And let me tell you, we all know that we're not always worthy of all the good comments that they bestow upon us. Women have their unique way of telling their husbands and their children exactly what they both need to hear and what they want to hear. They build us up and they do us good. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to build up one another. We're supposed to encourage one another. Well, how much more so your own husband or wife, your mother, your aunt, your grandmother, somebody in your family. Instead of tearing them down, the world tears you down. I mean, you go out in this world, you hear negative, 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 negative. But we as Christians, we're supposed to be encouragers. Amen. We're supposed to be like Jesus. What did Jesus do? He went around, he encouraged people, he exhorted people. Excuse me. Moms are the only people in the world who'd watch their husband and their kids mess something up really bad and still smile and say, "But man, you sure look good doing it anyway." If a wife does you good all the days of her life, that means she's a close companion to you. An excellent wife, an excellent mother, makes her an excellent companion. Somebody that you love to spend time with. When I was growing up before I got saved, I always had these running buddies. And we always run around together. My poor dad... He always thought people were leading me astray, and really I was the gang leader. Excuse me. I was usually the instigator. Anybody was following me, they got in trouble. But I had these guys I always ran around with. They always said, "Oh, just leave the old lady at home. We'll all go out and do this and this and this and this," you know. Then I got saved, and God put joy in my life. Joy is not just my wife. She's my best friend. I enjoy spending time with her. I don't need running buddies no more. I have a companion. I have a friend. I have someone I can talk to. And I'm going to throw this out there to you husbands and wives. There's times, and I've said this before, there's times that when I come to Joy, I tell her I don't want to talk to my wife. I want to talk to my friend. Because a wife's perspective is going to be one way, but a friend's perspective is going to be different if you're going to be a true friend. There's been times I've come to her, I'm a pastor, I've come to her and told her, "Joy, I need prayer. I feel like a spirit of lust is trying to attach itself to me." Now, you go tell your wife that, automatically, what's she going to start saying? "Who are you looking at? Who are you messing around? What have you been doing?" But a friend's going to say, "Okay, let's pray about it. Let's take authority over this thing." Do you hear what I'm saying? Good companionship is worthy of being praised. I'm sorry, y'all. Never happens till I get behind the pulpit. Number three. Now, listen, you men, y'all will like this part. Verse 13, she works with her hands. And this is repeated in verses 13, 19, and 24. We catch several images of the mother who sews to meet her family's needs. We're reminded that mom does the grocery shopping and then takes time to cook it as well. The proverb even reminds us that women often work outside of the home. Verse 16 talks about their earnings, and verse 24 talks about her selling merchandise. When's the last time that you thanked your wife or your mother because she sewed a button on your shirt or mended a torn pair of pants or cooked you dinner? Or earn some additional income for the family. Sometimes we forget about our wives. We expect them to cook and clean and take care of the kids in the house, but they also work a job also. We men, we're kind of like, we work a job, we come home, we want to be through. The old saying is, a wife and a mother's work is never done. Amen? Verse 27 says, she does not eat the bread of idleness. It reminds us that we're not the only working ones. In fact, it's always the ladies who hold the church together. You need volunteers? You know who's going to volunteer? The women. Men, sometimes you've got to drag them to get them to do something. We need to praise a hard-working woman who goes the extra mile. Thank God that you're willing to get up and go and do. Thank God that you're my helpmeet. Sometimes, before they go out the door, sometimes they need to hear, thank you for doing what you're doing. Number 4, verse 15, she rises also while it's still night. Verse 27 says she looks well to the ways of her household. That tells me that she greatly cares for her family. How thankful you should be for a wife who gets up in the middle of the night to care for a crying child. And I'm not just talking about newborn babies either. I'm talking about those nights when a child wakes up sick and you don't even know about it until the next morning. But mom did. Her ears are tuned to her child while we're just sleeping the night away. And I think verse 15 really alludes to the early morning hours before the sun comes up. Mom's already up preparing to get the kids ready to send them off to school. And I can testify, it's a praiseworthy to have a mom who's always caring for her family. My mom took care of us. My dad worked all the time. To my dad, leisure was working. He worked hard, but mom took care of us. She always took care of her clothes. She took care of our food. She took care of our boo-boos when we fell down and scratched herself or did something wrong. She was always there. Number 5, verse 16 says, she considers a field and buys it. That doesn't just speak of her willingness to work. It speaks of her wisdom. It says she opens her mouth in wisdom. Listen to me, guys. Do you really value the input of your wife? Think about that for a moment. If you have a wife who speaks with wisdom, you ought to pay more attention. That might just save you from some embarrassment times in your life. On top of that, a wise woman ought to be consulted before you make plans. In fact, I think a wise husband can only be so if he's smart enough to consult his wife before he goes ahead with plans that he knows is going to irritate her. We should praise a woman for her wisdom that she imparts to her family. I was listening this morning to Jensen Franklin, and he was talking about in 2 Samuel verse chapter 20. He said that there was a guy, he was a rebel, came against King David. His name is Sheba, and he went and hid himself in the city, and they fortified the city. And King David sent Joab and all of his soldiers to come against the city. And here they had all these forces out there, and they had the battering rams, they were battering the doors. They were going to capture this guy because he was a rebel worse than Absalom. And the Bible says a wise woman called out to Joab. And Joab listened to her. Women turn to somebody next to you and say, that's a man that's finally going to listen to a woman. He listened to her. And she said, what are you doing here against us? We're Israelites like you are. He said, I've come for him. Said, if you'll just throw him out here, then all this will stop. So she said, okay, you watch. You'll see his head come over the walls. Sure enough, she got with some of the other women. They went and found the guy. They cut his head off, and they threw it over the gates of the walls of the city. And all the soldiers stopped. The battering ram stopped. The war stopped. They loaded up and they left. And the point he was making is, there's things in our lives sometimes that we give place to the devil. And that's why he's battering us. That's why he's coming against us. But a wise woman or a wise person will get rid of those things in our lives that shouldn't be there so that we don't give place to the devil. But what really got me about this, it wasn't a bunch of wise men that did this to save the city. It was a wise woman that took things into her own hands. If you men not going to do it, then she's just going to do it. And she did. There was another situation where this guy was going around. He was killing all these people and doing all this stuff, to hurting a lot of people. And he got tired and he went to this lady's house and he said, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to rest. Cook me something to eat. And she said, aren't you the one that's killing everybody? And he said, yeah, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. So she cooked him something to eat. She told him, why don't you go ahead and take a nap? And while you take a nap, I'll stay awake and I'll watch and make sure that you're not harmed. So he laid down to take a nap. When he took the nap, she took out one of the stakes that goes in a tent and she drove it through his head. She took care of him. I'm talking about women who are not going to sit back and be intimidated by the devil. They're going to take things in their own hands. Amen. And they're going to show the devil, you're messing with the wrong woman. Amen? Amen. Number 6, verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. How blessed you are if mom is a loving person, not just towards you, but toward other people in the community. Her good deeds become known to all, causing the entire community to speak well of her, and consequently speaking well of you also. Think about that. I have been blessed. Everybody I know speaks well of my mom. She's like a spiritual mother to hundreds of people. And when I went through my heart attack, and Stephen took over the business, I never knew what people thought about me. Did he come back and he said, Dad, you'd be shocked and amazed how much people respect you, how much they love you, and all the concern they have for you. You see, it started here, and it rubbed off over here. Amen? It's a blessing to know that people speak highly of her, even when she's not present. If the woman in your house is compassionate, then you're doubly blessed. And she deserves to be praised. Number 7, verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for her household are clothed with scarlet. Moms are always prepared. Kids, you ought to thank mom every time she remembers something you forget. Or every time she thinks of something you don't think of. Every time she plans ahead and bails you out, moms are always prepared. If you don't believe me, just look at the purses they carry. Stuff Joy pulls out of her purse, I think, my Lord, she's going to pull a car out of there eventually? I mean, but they're prepared, church. They've got the Band-Aids and the insect, the stuff to treat the wounds and the little boo-boos and all kinds of things in that purse. But they're prepared. They're looking out for their family. Number 8, verse 22. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Women go to great lengths to look good for us. When she does, you better pay attention and let her know that you noticed. I've had Joy come home before after church and tell me, I had 4 people tell me I looked good and you didn't tell me one time. Oh, well, I'm back in the doghouse again. But yeah. When your mother dresses up, let her know that you think she's looking good. Everybody ought to compliment their mothers, their wives, when they make themselves attractive. Number 9, verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. You know what that means? It means that she makes him look good. And it may be in spite of the fact that he's a jerk anyway. If your wife makes you look good, if she gives you a good reputation, then you ought to bow down and kiss her feet. I know several women who continue to make their husband look bad. And that can be for a lot of different reasons. Praise be to the wife who makes you look good, who causes you to have an outstanding reputation. Don't take that lightly. Joy's always telling me positive things, lifting me up. When I'm getting negative about something, or when I don't feel like I look right, or my hair didn't turn out right, or the clothes I wear didn't look right, she's always making me, encourage me, always. Now on the flip side, she also tells me when I do a lousy job of preaching, or when I don't wear the right clothes, or she's my best critic and my biggest support. I like this one. Number 10, verse 25. She smiles at the future. How pleasant it is to have a mom in the house who isn't always worried and fretting about everything. Sad to say, some of us moms, we don't know how to turn it over to God, and we just worry about everything. If we didn't worry, we wouldn't have nothing to do. But instead, they're optimistic about what life has ahead. Optimistic people are encouragers. Don't you just love being around optimistic people? I don't know if it's you, but I do, man, because I deal with enough negative stuff. It's kind of like on the job. I was telling Stephen the other day, we can do 100 things right, and they never say, boy, you did a good job. It's always the one thing you didn't get done. I like optimistic people. Give praise to your wife if she's optimistic. She makes your life so much more pleasing. Boy, that should have been an amen, amen, amen. Number 11, verse 26. It's sure getting quiet in here. I don't know. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. How blessed you are if mom is a pleasant talker, not a person continually griping and whining about everything. A person who speaks with kindness is a teacher of kindness. Kids, you should thank mom if she models kindness in her speech, because it's going to rub off on you. Men, be thankful if your wife teaches kindness to your kids. She surely makes up for the rough edges that you have, and you know what I'm talking about. I can't think of many things that are better than speaking with a woman who always has kindness on her tongue. There's just something special about a kind woman. A good woman seems to have pleasant words for everybody. Why don't you return her love and speak pleasant words back to her? You know, there's no saying you can get more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Man, if we just get that through our head, if mama's not happy, nobody's going to be happy. Amen. Number 12, and I'm closing. Verse 30 says, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. If your wife, your mom, loves God, you got it good. Love her, praise her for her dedication in helping build a Christian home. There's an old proverb that says, flowers leave their fragrance on the hand that bestows them. And the poem written says, this old Chinese proverb, if practiced every day, would change the whole world in a wonderful way. Its truth is so simple, it's so easy to do, and it works every time and successfully too. For you can't do a kindness without a reward, not in silver nor gold, but in the joy from the Lord. You can't light a candle to show others the way without feeling the warmth of that little ray. And you can't pluck a rose all fragrant with dew without part of its fragrance remaining on you. Women love to receive flowers. That's because they attach meaning to them. Why else would a mom be so happy to receive a handful of dandelions from her child? She realizes that what those flowers symbolize. So men, when we give flowers, we need to remember to attach some meaning to them in our own minds. But we need to go beyond that and actually verbalize the thoughts and the feelings also. Women need to hear our praises, and we need to give them to them. Us old hard-headed men, so many times, well, she knows I love her. I told her so when I married her. No, they need to hear that every day of their life. They need to be praised. They're putting up with me and you. They need to be praised. Amen? As the proverb says, the hand that gives the flowers also receives a blessing. We are better husbands and better children when we praise our wives and our mothers. So this Mother's Day, don't just hand your wife a gift. Tell her why she deserves it. God sent us a gift. And with it was attached a great meaning. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever. Now, I know we talked about the ideal woman this morning. And I know some of you was not raised by the ideal mother, did not have the ideal wife. But this is what God says He wants us to have, church. I'm going to read this and I'm going to close. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt when Pharaoh issued an edict that all sons born to the Hebrews were to be cast in the Nile River and drowned. But one Hebrew mother courageously disobeyed the Pharaoh's command. When her son was born, she hid him in her home for 3 months. When he could no longer be safely hid, she put him in a basket and placed him among the reeds in the river. There he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, who took him as her son and named him Moses. Prompted by the sister who was watching from afar, Pharaoh's daughter gave the baby to its mother to raise for her. Reading that story, one cannot help but feel that God was speaking through the Egyptian princess when she gave the directions, "Take this child and raise it for me." Jochebed was faithful to her God-given task. She poured into the heart of her son courage and faith and molded him into the man who later broke the hold of Pharaoh and led the Israelites to freedom. Down through the centuries, this has been God's message. Over and over, He says to mothers everywhere, "Take this child and raise it for me." Hannah prayed for a son, dedicating him to God. That son, Samuel, was used by God to save His nation. His achievements as a prophet harkened back to the influence of Hannah, his mother. Susanna Wesley was the mother of 19 children. She took seriously her calling. The historian Leckie says that it was her son, John Wesley, who saved the 18th century England from a bloody revolution similar to that of France. It all went back to the training he received from his mother in his childhood. Bishop Francis Warren, speaking to a native congregation in India, appealed for contributions. A poor widow wrote on her pledge card, "I will give 6 annas and my baby boy." The money amounted to 12 cents, and the infant was only one among India's millions. But that mother never forgot her pledge. She reared her son in Christian faith, and he became one of the great Christian leaders of India. The lesson is quite clear. The future of our nation depends on the character of our citizens, and the character of our citizens depends on the mothers who are molding the men and the women of tomorrow. To paraphrase Ralph Waldo Emerson, men and women are what their mothers make them. Our fathers have a big influence, but our mothers have a greater influence on us. It says, others weary of the noise, mothers play with girls and boys. Others scold because we fail, mothers kiss and make it well. Others work with patient will, mothers labor later still. Others love is more or less, mothers love with steadiness. Others pardon, hating yet, mothers pardon and forget. Others throw their faith away, mothers pray and pray and pray. Amen? Give God some praise and glory. And as I said, you may not measure up to all these ideals, but there are things in there, I'm sure, that we as husbands and sons, that we need to be praising you for. And the more we appreciate you and the more we praise you, the more you're going to want to do more. Amen? I don't know why it is. We're just stubborn and hard-headed. We just think we can just make these women do anything we want them to do. I learned a long time ago, you can't make a woman do anything. You may think you are, and they may let you think you are, but you're not. So my philosophy is kill them with kindness. Love them so much that they cannot love you back. Amen? But today we're celebrating our mothers. And it's sad, it's just one time a year. And we sometimes forget how much or how important they really are and how big an effect they had on us. My dad has been in bad health, and he's just making it day by day by day. And I know when my dad passes away, it's going to hurt me because there are a lot of things he and I are a lot alike in. But if Jesus allows her to go the way of the grave, that's going to break my heart like nothing else. I've got a special bond with her. And when Joy and I first got married, Joy was jealous. She said, you're a mama's boy. My mom and I, my mom can tell you, I never spent no time with her in the world because I was always running because of the things I was doing I was ashamed of. Okay? And we never spent no time. But when I found Jesus, she was my spiritual advisor. She was the person I ran to when I didn't understand, when I needed prayer, when I needed something going, I would always run to her. And I say, when we first got married, Joy got upset because she was jealous. You always go to your mom. She didn't realize I needed that refill to put up with her. No, I need to pray. That's the nice thing about her being in Sunday school. I can pick on her all day long. But in all seriousness, it was her. It was her that guided us. It was her that held the family together. It was her that put the God in our family. And not on our family only, but it run over to other people that come involved, that come in contact. Even this church, I shut the church down, was going to quit, walk away from it. And Brother Walker came. It was she and Brother Walker that got this church back on its feet and got it going again. Words can never say, I can never do enough to tell you how much I love you and what you mean to me. Amen. Amen. And not just to me, you've taken so many others in and made them your sons and your daughters, and I don't know where they'd be if it wasn't for you. I thank God for you. Amen. And I want to say this about my mother-in-law. You know, most people say, oh, that mother-in-law. I don't have a mother-in-law. I have a second mom. She treats me like I'm her son. I thank God for that. Amen. Before I get all emotional, y'all stand. Tell them how much you love them. I don't even care if you don't have a good relationship with them. You'd be shocked sometimes what a phone call would do. It may bring that wall down. It may touch that hard heart. God says, blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. Let's appreciate one another. Let's praise one another. Church, I was guilty. When Stephen was growing up, the kid was always in trouble. And every time I'd something happened, I'd holler, Stephen! And he's like, I didn't do it. Rarely did I ever go say, Stephen, I'm really proud of you. You did this good or you did that good. I was always getting on to him. Church, we need to have praise. Your husband, your wife, your mother may not be the most perfect person to person. person in the world, but just sometimes a kind word, just appreciation, just a thank you, just a I love you, you'd be shocked what it would do. Amen? If you bow your head, please.